This is Akuria Talking Football. I'm Eric Nicholson, and with me are Jim Spence and Sean Hamilton. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Eric. Hello.
Now, I think we better start with no preambles. Mm-hmm. Start with Dundee, because I'm for the first time, I'm going to use this season, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to use the phrase a must win, right? Dundee, mm-hmm. Aberdeen, not must win in terms of staying up or any nonsense like that. They're well clear of that, Dundee, but I think for top six and aspirations possibly even above Aberdeen, which will come to being a bit of the clown show that they are just now, this is a must win for Dundee, isn't it? Everything, there's, you know, a lot going in their favour for this midweek, the rearranged game. Jim, now or never, but I think, you know, with the quality of the teams above them, I'm talking about St Mirren, Kilmarnock, certainly if they're thinking about catching them for potentially Europe, they need to win it. And I also think in terms of finishing above Hibs as well, mm-hmm. getting in the top six, I think this is an opportunity they need to take when you look at who they've got coming up at the weekend afterwards. Would you agree, Jim?
Well, I think you're right. It's a must win. It's a could win.
Whether it's a should win,
it's another thing entirely. they've got the ability to do it. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, you know, they're sitting there on 33 points in seventh, so they're a point shy of Hibs, well ahead of Aberdeen. You know, who might end up in a playoff relegation battle. But no, Dundee have certainly got the ability to do it. Whether they do it or not. Difficult one to call. I mean, Aberdeen are a basket case club at the moment. You know, they really are.
Shambles.
And anything can happen. I mean, they've got ability. There's no getting away from it. They've got ability, but
I was of your opinion. The two or three do. I was when I watched them against Saints the other week. I was shocked.
There are individuals within the team, Eric, I think, who've got ability. There's no doubt about that. But the league table never lies. You get fed up saying it, you know. But I mean, it's the oldest cliche in the book, which is a true one. And the fact that they're sitting third bottom tells you all you need to know about them. they're a club. They're a team in crisis. They're a team with kind of some serious problems.
Leadership problems on the field.
Leadership problems. And I think that there's a mental problem with them as well. I mean, they're not strong enough mentally. Now, Dundee have got a great team spirit about them. There's a great work ethos about them. I don't think Dundee should have been seventh on a few occasions. They've let themselves down with slack defensive play, which hasn't detracted from the rest of the really good stuff that they've put together. But there are times when they'll look back in the season and, you know, reflect, I think,
they'll have a few if only if they don't achieve some of the goals they've squandered,
you know. I mean, irrespective, it'll still be a good season for them, I think. You know, even if they do finish outside the top six, it'll be a successful season. But it's one that, I think it probably is a must win at this stage if they have serious ambitions, and they do have serious ambitions about being in the top six.
Come on then, Sean, let's have a bit of fun with Aberdeen. They're not in our patch, so we can say what we want.
Fair enough.
Jim's the only one who'll get a phone call for Dave Cormack.
Or Alan Burrows, right?
You might get a call for Mark Fotheringham, but no, we'll leave that one just now. I hesitate to... We'll start with Dave Cormack because I think there's far more to being an owner... stroke chairman, whatever his job title is in terms of the actual running of the place, because he owns it. Is he chairman as well? I think.
He makes a lot of big decisions.
He's very hands on.
I mean, the day to day running of the club is Alan Burrows,
correct.
Obviously.
But strategic wise, his fingerprints are all over a lot of big decisions. Uh-huh. And part of me always hesitates to. It's similar to when we kind of talk about Mark Ogren. Sometimes we've got an owner who his heart is undoubtedly in the right mm-hmm. place. Mm-hmm. He signs checks. Mm-hmm. He backs managers. All that sort of stuff. He ticks a lot of the boxes that you would want in an owner. He's a fan. Yeah. He's a fan. So he has roots in the local community. Mm-hmm. He's built them a training ground. Yep. He's trying to build them a new stadium in a place they would want a new stadium to be. So there are a lot of things going from, but you still have to be able to make sensible decisions. And he makes a hell of a lot of the exact opposite to Celtic bold decisions, and he's continuing to make. I mean, I must admit, what was my first reaction when I heard that Neil Warnock was going? Was that okay? They've finally got something. They've realised this was a mess. Even though they won the cup game, they thought.
Oh, so this is when you heard when Warnock was leaving.
Yes. Right. So I'd switched off the telly. And you think, okay, and I was thinking, oh, right enough, he didn't look too happy when he was walking around the pitch applauding fans and that, you know. So you know, he didn't look that happy on the touchline. So you're thinking, there's a guy that knew he's had the tap on the shoulder and been told, like, we'll shake hands after this. What come what may. Mm. All of a sudden, there's still no new man. I thought it'll be Neil Lennon because he's out of work, and Neil Lennon had kind of been talking quite positively about Aberdeen the week before, I think. And that's where you think, oh, there you go. It's 2+2. And there was a statement was quickly put out basically saying, as if to say, we're in control.
Talking in that, no comment, but here's a comment.
We're quite far down the road type thing was the gist of it.
Yeah.
And here we are. They're going to be playing Dundee with, I don't know who the hell will be in charge of the team. The boy leaving,
it's
I suppose.
Peter Leavitt, there we go.
Yes. And they're clearly not in control. They continue to make statements, but they're not in control. And it just feels like an utter, utter mess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you could argue with that. I think going back to when Neil Warnock came in, I think there was an instant feeling of, oh, this is going to be a sideshow.
Yeah, we liked it from our side of the fence because we knew he'd come with the quotes it was a bit different.
But I'm not sure that the glee, if you like, on the part of the media in Scotland is probably reflective of the sort of appointment that Aberdeen would want to be making. It was more of a, oh, this could go very wrong. And it hasn't gone well at all. So, yeah, you file that under disaster, right? That's fair enough. Yeah, I don't think they could bristle too much at that. To be honest, and what you're saying about Dave Cormack, all of the very, very, very top level stuff, as you say, it's all right. It's looking positive. There is the training ground. The new stadium's massive for the club and for the city and their relationship and all that stuff, and that's all bubbling away, you know, and that's okay. But it's on the football side of things that's been a mess. It's been a total mess, and I think it's been a mess for a while. I mean, Alan Burrows was brought in to try and help out on that front because it's a guy who's, you know, created himself a really solid reputation as a football administrator over his years at Motherwell, having worked his way up from
PR man.
Yeah, exactly, to running the whole club. So a guy with a really good reputation in Scottish football. And he struggled to get his hands around it a bit as well. And it's the fact that Warnock came in as a, oh God, this could be interesting, and he's gone out. And they still haven't got a new manager in to take over for them. That is an absolute shambles.
Yes.
It really, really is.
Something else beginning with SH.
Yes. It's really, really,
ending in show.
Really
poor. Shocker.
The positives for a manager looking at the gig, I mean, it might actually be the case that the situation is looking so kind of messy that a manager, a prospective manager, might look at it and go, what do I want to do in a day with that? I don't. You know, this is my reputation at stake and this is my career. And you don't get very many poor appointments in your career before you start to go down, perhaps irretrievably so in some cases. So football managers are understandably quite careful about their reputation and where they go and what they do. I mean, it might be the case that some prospective managers look at the club now and go, this is too much of a risk for me.
Yeah, there's too many things are piling up.
At this stage.
Too many alarm bells.
So that does close you off to certain probably more experienced types of managers who are being particularly careful. It maybe leaves the door open for guys who are looking for their chance.
I tell you what, though. Honestly, see, I mean,
But it's interesting before I quickly finish here, it is interesting given the problems that you've highlighted about the recruitment of managers and all the stuff on the football side that they've struggled with, that they've taken the decision to outsource that process this time.
But to
who? I mean, it's interesting. Do you know what? I am absolutely positive. Now, you'll ask me for examples and I'll struggle here because I've not looked that far into it. But surely there'll be bigger clubs in the world that have done similar things, that have outsourced recruitment and things like that.
No doubt about it.
I don't think it's an unusual thing to do. It's maybe unusual in a Scottish context and at that level.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't think it's us being parochial or me being parochial. Maybe you'll correct me. Maybe you'll take a different stance on this. I don't think it's being parochial to say that having a guy from Germany suddenly being the man that's going to reshape a Scottish Premiership club, not even one of the top, let's face it, they're miles shy of Rangers and Celtic. So he's not coming in to reshape a club that should be expecting to be punching its weight in Europe and all the rest of it. So you get, so the, there's a German reshaping the football department at Aberdeen at a time when, I'm sorry, but see, if Aberdeen make a left field appointment, hell mend them, really.
They could end up going down.
Whereas everything screams. It's like a Hibs scenario. You know, their fans seem to love it when they see a
I mean, you've got left field appointments, but is there such a thing as a guarantee? There's no guarantee.
There is. If you go out and get Stephen Robinson, you guarantee you stay up this season at the very worst. And then you guarantee, I think...
I wouldn't go that far.
I think you're as close to it as you can get it. As close to as you can get it. And then you certainly can guarantee that with the budget, his three predecessors, however many more of them since Dave Cormack took over, you give him the spends to look in the Scottish market and the markets he was operating in, you guarantee a far better Aberdeen next season than you got this season. But will it be Stephen Robinson? I absolutely have my doubts that it will, you know.
And well, Aberdeen have said that some of their candidates are in work currently, and he is.
Yeah, he is.
So there will be. If it's not him, then there'll be somebody else who's in work. I suspect he is in the mix.
It's a very attractive job, I think. I mean, it's for all the
pitfalls, reasons we talked about. Reasons.
Yeah. For starters, it'll be the third highest paid gig in Scotland as a manager. I mean, the Aberdeen manager will earn more than the manager at Hearts and Hibs. I think considerably so. So it's a very well paid job. You've got the city to yourself. You've got the hinterland to yourself. You know, so you've got a catchment area kind of 350-400, maybe more, 1,000 people. You know, businesses support you and all the rest of it. If you reach out to them, there's loads of potential there. I think the danger to some extent. I mean, I think I understand what Dave is trying to do. Dave Cormack. I mean, he's come in. Dave spent the bulk of his career in the States making his fortune and all the rest of it. And he wants to do things in the Scottish game, but pizzazz and all the rest of it.
I should have done that.
Doesn't it translate? This is one of the things that worries me about kind of potential American ownership of Scottish football and people coming in that don't. I mean, I think in my Courier column last week, we were talking about Tony Bloom being interested in United.
Hold that thought.
You know, it all sounds great and all the rest of it, but you do sometimes have to kind of ask yourself, you know that whole kind of sketch series, you know, about kind of how he knows the club and he knows the scene. Well, there is something in that. It can be overly done, it can be overly cooked, but there is something in that. But Scottish football is a peculiar brand.
Of course it's
peculiar.
It is.
I mean, for starters, you've got two teams you simply cannot compete with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I was having a wee bit of fun last night saying Morton have done well against Hearts. Wouldn't it be great to see a bigger league? I'd like a bigger league. Vast bulk of people agreed. One guy who follows me on Twitter, St. Anthony, great Celtic guy, puts a lot of great old pictures now. He said, well, you know, United and Aberdeen in a 10-club league won, you know, did brilliantly in Europe. They won the league. Would you know like to see these days returning? I went, yeah, well, they'll never return. The world has moved on substantially. And Scottish football's moved on substantially. Rangers and Celtic dominate, so it's the best of the rest. I kind of see you could bring in, you know, top coach in the world. You could bring in Guardiola. You could bring in Klopp. They'll not win the league with Aberdeen because the budgets are massively different for one thing. If the Dons are thinking of going down the German road, you know, with outsourcing to a kind of the German lad who did, his name's just gone out of my mind, who did brilliantly with Hoffenheim and all the rest of that, it's a different kettle of fish entirely trying to do this with Aberdeen. I mean, you know, when you come in with 3 and 5 year plans in Scotland, nobody's interested. Yeah. People want success pretty much instantly. They're not interested in what's going on in the background and all that.
I bet they would be selling stuff to he'd be speaking to Dave Cormack saying things like, oh yeah, like all the sort of little things like if we do this, we can maybe catch Rangers, all this sort of stuff. People that know Scottish football are grounded in realism.
But maybe not. I mean, it's not necessarily about that. If you're outsourcing the recruitment of a head coach to work in a system where there's a sporting director and all that, which sounds like what they're trying to do. So it's not just the head coach that they're recruiting. It sounds like they're having a pretty thorough revamp of the football operation. So is there a good time and a bad time to do that? I don't know. If you're down at your
on the verge, a lowest on the verge of a relegation battle.
Aberdeen, kind of from being in the group stages of European football, they're so close to getting relegated this season.
They are giving me, it's different.
And that is their lowest.
They are giving me Dundee United vibes of last season, I have to say.
On the pitch, on the pitch, I'm getting
it's collapsed, doesn't it?
And I have to say, to bring it back to our team, Sean, from thinking, oh, this might not be a good thing for Dundee, when I heard after Aberdeen had just won Warnock's away, I'm thinking a Lennon or somebody's coming in. I think, okay, Dundee, this could be a bad time to get Aberdeen. And I think it's an absolutely brilliant time for them to be getting Aberdeen, mm-hmm. because the cup win now will have done absolutely nothing to sort of puncture that feeling of rage that is in. I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, it was like the reaction to this and the second St Johnstone goal going in, mm-hmm. was quite something, you know. There was, you know, you're not fit to wear the shirt. Yeah. It was mm-hmm. all the booze you could imagine, all the rest of it. There's a baying mob there.
The thing is, there's no escape for that to sit like. No, there isn't. No, like United or Dundee, where a lot of the boys will come through in a couple of carpools from Glasgow.
Shame Warnock didn't go after that one.
Skip back, you live.
Could add it to the list. I know, right?
You live in Aberdeen.
But a couple of near misses, by the way, Sean.
There's no escape. You go for a cup of tea. You go for a pint. You go for a.
Don't think they'll be going for many pints just now, but did the Aberdeen boys not get themselves in trouble for that one time after a couple of years ago? Remember after getting beat by the Old Firm, they were all in the cup. Remember that one?
It was just a few years ago. Was it the start of COVID?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's right.
You remember?
I'd forgotten about that.
But yes, I don't see anything other than a Dundee win.
We've said the word, I've used the word shambles a couple of times. Again, this just re-emphasises it. I mean, from getting arguably one of your results of the season, mm-hmm. beating Kilmarnock,
doing so with some style,
to immediately go from that to Warnock's away, to who's the next manager? Oh, there isn't one. What a mess. we're back to that place in the circle again. Oh, they're a total shambles. They've all of that positive stuff that they should have been talking about in the aftermath of that win and all of this week, and we're on the right track now, all that. None of that has been mentioned at all. The vibe around that club is just a disaster at the moment. So, yeah, in terms of, I mean, there's the whole wounded animal thing, but they've been wounded all season. When have they bitten back?
Yeah.
They haven't.
Because Neil Warnock tried to press the "you've been bullied" button before mm-hmm. the Saints game.
Absolutely.
And that was not a team that came out there looking to show that they were up for the fight. So we shall see.
I don't think any Aberdeen fan will have any faith in them at the moment, and I certainly don't. So Dundee, the way they've been playing, the way they know we can play, at their best, Dundee should be putting Aberdeen away.
Dundee should certainly be. I mean, that back line, that Aberdeen back line is there to be got at in terms of pace. And I think even the... Yeah, they just need to get their run. Dundee are not the team Aberdeen want to be playing just now in terms of their pace and their movement. So, balls into the channels over the top. Dundee need to be, I would say, a wee bit more direct than maybe they usually would be. Just turn them quickly. Do what Saints did to them. Turn them quickly, and that's the key to beating Aberdeen, I would suggest.
They still beat Kilmarnock in the cup.
They did.
Kelly are a very decent side, as everyone has found out this
season. They weren't on Saturday.
They beat them 3-1. So there's something there. There's something there. It's whether they're mentally fragile. If Dundee can go off to a quick start, score a goal, then the whole kind of mental house could come tumbling down the Aberdeen defence
There's every chance before that game against Kilmarnock that Warnock's gone into the dressing room and said, "Right, I'm away, lads."
Mm-hmm.
So do what you do here. This has got nothing to do with me. This is about yourselves. And that might have been the team talk. You know, I'm gone at the end of this. So
that is a fascinating one as to why he went. Yeah, I mean,
he just thought this is what I signed up for. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think he did come up and he thought this will be entertaining. It'll be fun. It'll be easy. I'll turn this lot round. They'll get a couple of wins and they'll be all right. It's not been like that for him at all. And it's when it, but because of it, because it's Aberdeen and because the situation's getting so grave for them in the bottom of the league, they could get relegated. This is a very different story for Neil Warnock now. There's questions coming his way are getting more serious. Everything's starting to get a bit darker and more like, so this is not what I came up here for at all.
Well, I mean, it's a good point because he's got this holiday home during Dunoon now. You can imagine him swagging about the local boozer, telling tales, and people falling about his feet. Oh, have another one, Neil. You know, all of a sudden he's up in Aberdeen, he's on his own.
He's got Aberdeen relegated.
He's 72. Well, he's getting his head nipped everywhere he goes with your raging Dons fans, you know. Yeah. And he suddenly thinks, whoa, I didn't expect it to be like this, you know.
It'll make him,
it's not what he signed up for.
Make him more popular in Dunoon with the local Rangers and Celtic fans, I dare say. But there we go. Do you let's, they've not played this game, but we'll cast our minds forward to the weekend as well. Mm-hmm. I give Dundee a chance against Rangers as well. I think
that's a bold prediction
with Rangers having their European night on now, one way or t'other. That's going to take a lot out of them emotionally. It could well be an extra time job as well, because those two teams look pretty well matched. But that's, and although by no means am I getting a violin out for Rangers injury issues and all the rest of it, and they don't have, in terms of a top, in terms of they're putting out a starting 11, there's a drop off between their first team and their fringe players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's all relative compared to what the drop-off is, you know, at other clubs. But I think Dundee, particularly if, let's give them the win in midweek. If they've got the win in midweek as well, I give them a really good chance against they're one of the teams I give a really good chance against Rangers, because I think Tony Docherty will just, I think they'll go for it.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a remarkable double scalp if they took Aberdeen and Rangers within the space of 4 days, 5 days. I mean, it would be absolutely remarkable, and it would do their...
The Motherwell result at Ibrox was an absolute game changer in terms of how you should look at Rangers, because this is a Rangers in form, and by all accounts, Motherwell thoroughly deserved their win there.
I mean, I did my piece the other week, and I was saying after Dundee lost 7-1, look, you don't, you know, these are not the games that define your season against Celtic Rangers, they're not. And I hate it because it's defeatist, but it's only long, bitter experiences that tells us all of that. And then Mother will go there and beat them. So it can be done, you know. It can be done, you know. I think
the
sometimes
flip side of that is they can't define their season by that. Then
that's right. I know, but there's just kind of, you know, sometimes you just need to be a wee bit more positive against both halves. So the Glasgow duopoly. The problem is, in trying to be more positive, they can give you a hell of a caning. Because on their day, I mean, you know, you saw, we remember United against Celtic 9-0. I mean, you know, very few people want to be in the receiving end of something like that. So I'd be much more confident of Dundee taking 3 points against Aberdeen than I would against Rangers.
Well, Dundee have scars still from the Celtic one. Because that was exactly the type of caning that Jim was talking about.
I mean, that's horrendous, but I mean, whether you carry that into a home game against Rangers, I don't know. Yes, that'll still hurt them, definitely. I'm not sure how much it'll impact them against Rangers, to be honest. And they'll know that they're up against a similarly equipped opposition that could hurt them. But I don't think they'll be labouring that day too much, because it used to be the case, although not so much frequent nowadays, but it used to be the case not so long ago that Celtic would dish one of them out every year to somebody at will. Depends who it is. It just happened to Rangers. Dundee got it this year, and you know, Dundee at their best, there's no way they lose 7-1 to Celtic. They've obviously had an off day.
Not that Celtic, no.
And that's coincided with Celtic being in the mood for whatever reason, and they've got plenty of reasons to be in the mood at the moment. They need to be because of what they're after. Rangers, I'm leaning towards probably not, but you never know. I mean, maybe Tony Dock will be scouring Motherwell's performance to
lunchtime kickoff after a Thursday night.
Yeah, well, I know that. I mean, that's definitely a factor. St.
Patrick's Day too.
Oh,
oh God!
We had double whammy on them. No, I mean, listen, a draw would be a great result.
It would be stunning. It'd be great
beating them. It's a tall order. Clement, I fell out with a few Celtic boys. Not fell out, but, you know, just winding them up. I mean, Clement is a good manager. He's, you know,
he definitely is.
Think of the dud they had before in Beale. I mean, this guy knows his business. He knows what he's about, and he's put out a really decent...
He's very much, when you see the type of type of football his teams play and the type of messages he sends out before and after, he's very much a Rangers manager as
of
well.
Of course he is. Of the old school variety.
You couldn't picture him as a Celtic boss.
No, now no, he fits the old school profile with his mannerisms and everything like that. He's very sort of officious and in charge.
Rarely smiles. Yeah. Teams are very functional and well-drilled. Yeah.
No big celebrations here. This is our job, being successful.
He's made for it, yes.
I wonder if a recruitment agency brought him in.
Outsourced.
No, Graeme Soon is still not. Graeme Soon is what Frank Lampard, didn't they? Ignored him. That was a wise choice. Never ask Graeme Soon who you should hire in the future. Eh? No, he's been a very, very sound appointment for them, for Rangers, that's for sure. Just last thing on Dundee, just came into my mind there. We've praised a few all season. Luke McCown's obviously been the talk. Owen Beck, they're the two ones that we've praised the most. Who are there? Any in the Dundee squad who, I'm thinking of the ones that were there last season, who you thought maybe haven't quite had the season that you thought they would? Or like, for example, is Lyle Cameron on track as to where you thought he would be? He kind of feels like he is to me, I think. Maybe he's not done a Luke McCown, which was a potential, but he's chipped him with some important goals. He's got plenty of game time. Are you happy with the trajectory of the ones that were, you know, the few of them that survived the summer cull?
McCown always has been stunning. Yes. I mean, he's the absolute standout. Lyle Cameron, probably. I think my initial response was, he's probably a bit under what I thought, but that's maybe harsh because he was just coming into the team really last season properly. Mm-hmm. And did a fantastic job, but I mean there is a big step.
To get to
around the top six in the Premiership, which is where Dundee are at the moment, and the Championship there is a gap, maybe not so much at the bottom, but where Dundee are. And how they're performing, there is a gap there. So yeah, probably. Yeah. He's not set ahead of the light, but it's been good.
Yeah, I'd like to know the stats as to how often. If Cameron and McCown play together, because that would feel to me as if it's probably they need to be a bit bit more dig about them than to play those two together too often. I think possibly McCown's form might have taken away a few and they operate in the same type of positions, don't they? Well, type of part of the park.
Yeah, but the issue is in terms of the question you ask, you know, who from last season? There's so few there from last season.
I know.
I mean, I'm looking at the last outing and I'm going through it and I'm saying, well, who was there? McCown was there, Cameron was there, you know.
Mulligan
was there. But I mean, you know, you look at the bench, you know. I mean, I might be wrong here, but I don't see anybody who was on the bench that was actually there last season. You know,
no,
so I mean,
there's
in
not
terms
much.
Of improvement, I think Cameron's come on with leaps and bounds. I think he's done very well. He's got dig about him. He's got a wee bit of kind of devilment about him. Wee bit of pace about him. But I mean, this
a lovely shot on him.
The standout has been McCown. I mean, McCown has been absolutely. He's lifted. To be honest with you, he's lifted his game above where I thought he could take it.
Agreed.
I wasn't assured that you know you see some players at a level and you think. He's a decent player, but that's it. Mm-hmm. But he's gone up a level, which has taken me by surprise. And I think probably taken a lot of Dundee players, but I wonder if it's taken him by surprise. You know, mm-hmm. he really has lifted himself. And there's nothing to indicate that it's a kind of a one-season wonder. I mean, he really has lifted his game. He's at a good age, McCown. Is he 26 now, I think? Isn't he 26?
Yes, he is 26.
You know, so you're talking a boy that really is, he's not even at the peak of his powers yet. You know, he's kind of heading towards that age where kind of the body really isn't a manhood. You know, mentally you're getting stronger, physically you're getting stronger, you're smarter, you're more mature. I mean, I think potentially a very, very exciting career ahead for him. You know, I mean, he's done superbly well this season. So to me, you know, I mean, there are others that have entered the fray, but no ones that were there last season. I like Donnelly's progress, you know, after the kind of nightmare start he had coming from Nottingham Forest with the injury and all the rest of it. But I really, you know, in terms of the guys that were there, there's not that many.
Looking at Mulligan's appearances, 20, I would imagine a lot of those have probably been off the bench. Mm-hmm. I thought funny, I probably said at the time, if I was going to say, if you'd asked me at the start of the season, I maybe wasn't including McCown in the conversation, but no. Mulligan and Cameron, I would have probably said Mulligan was the one that looked as if he was more, just because he's more physically robust, that he would have been the one that probably would have been a hit the ground running in the in the top flight more.
Of the ones last season, I mean, Max Anderson was another one who did well last season, but he's a bit alone, obviously. So he's gone out, so he's not been there to stake a claim. Which again, it shows you by comparison how well Lyle Cameron has done, because similar age with Max Anderson, whatever, similar stand, similar position, similar point in their careers. So for him to have hung on and done well and be playing and this team that's pushing for the top six is indicative of how well he has done.
Finn Robertson coming back in the scenes, really, that was the surprise one. That was the surprise one.
Not in terms of how
I thought he always thought he had talent, but definitely. I thought when you looked at the ones you, the squad size and the changes and all the rest of it, you were struggling to see a pathway for him. But no, he has. We've said it on previous podcasts that he's done very well at keeping everybody interested. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be another. Summer rebuild ahead. Okay, we'll stay in the seeing as we're in the top flight. We'll stay with Saints. Saints are. It's gone from feast to famine in terms of Saints. Where I had a lot of midweek games, particularly I think in the build up to Christmas and certainly after. Certainly, now. Recently. Now they're in one of these. Well, it's their own fault for getting punted out of the cup. Uh-huh. It's not their own fault. There's an international break coming up, but when you've got a fixture list of free weekend Celtic away, free weekend. Your points total is probably going to stay the same for a wee while. So I think Saints psychologically, or Saints fans rather, I think Craig Levein, from speaking to him yesterday, he's not kidding when I asked. He genuinely does not know what the table looks like. I suspect he knows he's got a 5-point gap over Ross County.
He should know that.
But other than that, I think he's a man with tunnel vision, and he knows what they need to do. And he's certainly not a man thinking, "Oh, we could eke out top six." That ship is well and truly sailed. But I think St Johnstone fans need to be psychologically ready for the potential of Ross County beating Hibs on Wednesday night, and maybe even Hart. I mean, there is a chance that by the time Saints play a winnable game, they could be second bottom. So that's, you know, I'm giving Ross County a win against Hibs and Hearts here, but they're at home to both of them, so it's possible. It's the 5-point cushion isn't really a 5-point cushion. Is probably what I'm trying to drive at the moment, Sean. I don't think there's no comfort zone there, really, is there? Am I being overly optimistic on Ross County's behalf?
Right, okay, I was going to say overly pessimistic. From a St Johnstone perspective, I can't see them beating both of them. I can't. One of them, maybe.
One of them.
Maybe.
Hibs. Without Martin Boyle. And
more likely Hibs. Because Hearts are not invincible, but they've been a level above.
Let's give them two defeats. If they lose them both, I'm starting to think, and Saints have just played Celtic, then I'm starting to think, not quite take a deep breath time, but, you know.
Yeah.
This is their opportunity. This is their time. I think Ross County have to start.
They have to, yeah. There's pressure on them, definitely. You can react in pressure to in various ways. Let's hope they fall apart. That'd be nice.
It would make things a bit easier, eh?
Yeah, it certainly would. Celtic, you don't expect to get anything, even when things are going particularly well. You probably go, well, probably not going to get anything here. I think particularly this season. They did get a point at Celtic Park earlier in the season, which
was a very unlikely one. Given
I didn't know where that was going to come from, but that was incredible.
I think it followed the Ross County debacle as well. Uh-huh. I think it was the game after that.
Yeah, that's not a point to be sniffed at, looking back at it. But another one, I don't know. No, I think Celtic are over the little wobble that they've had, and I think it's a straight shootout. And I think they will be at it, absolutely at it. Could be ugly.
How troubled were you by the news that Jai Semi's out for a few weeks? I thought he was very good at. You kind of judge these things on on social media over over having put these stories out at 10:30 many a time over the last two or three seasons.
Yeah.
And I was quite surprised that there wasn't so much collective wailing amongst the St. Johnston fans, whether they're just shrugging their shoulders again, they've had another one. But he felt like a key man and feels like a key man in the new system, as it were, and there ain't a like for like. But Saints do have, they don't have natural wingers, and Jai Simi's not what you'd call a natural winger in the old school sort of vision of what it would be, but he's a get you up the pitch in a different type of a way. Wide player. Now they're going to have to, I'm presuming they'll still stick with the four, so they're going to have to go with somebody else. You give a one hand, you take away with the other. We're starting to get into this, starting to tease a Dre Wright return, which would be very timely. Ironically, to a system that probably doesn't quite suit him as much as the back three one was more tailor made for him. But you'd be happy to see Dre Wright back. And are you overly perturbed by losing Jai Simi?
It's not good. I think probably there's an element of, in terms of the reaction or the lack of one, that you might have seen. I think St. Johnston fans are probably fatigued with all the bad news they've had to endure for, oh God, nearly 3 years now. I think there's what would normally bring out a gnashing and wailing of teeth is probably just a shrug at this point. Oh, there's another piece of bad news. Just get on with it. It's a shame because, as you say, I've liked watching him. Even when he was being used up top in that position that he's not natural to, if you like. But out left, particularly against Aberdeen, I thought he was very good there. Not so much
in the following game.
No, but that was pretty poor all round, I thought. That's probably another element to the whole, there's not weeping and wailing going on, because, I mean, we've seen basically one impressive performance from him in his natural position. That's it.
Mm.
So you haven't got too much time. You haven't had too much time to get used to him playing there and seeing what he can do, really. So, well, if he's not there, then what other suckers for it? Basically, that's where we are now. Especially against Celtic as well. I'm not expecting a...
Maybe we'll go back to the back three.
Swashbuckling performance.
For one game only.
Entirely possible. It might well just become a protect your box. Best of luck.
Best of luck, yes. First of all, are you expecting Ross County to turn up the heat on Saints?
By beating
Hibs?
Hibs, no.
No.
No,
you can come back, Jim.
I think Hibs will. I think Hibs will still feel a great sense of aggrievement. What happened in the cup?
They're playing for top six too.
There's a top six spot there, so I think and they are a good side. When they're on form, they're a decent side. They've got a bit of pace about them, a bit of go about them, and I think Ross County are down there for a reason. Hibs are a better team, and I don't think that Hibs will come a cropper up there. Might drop a point, but. Drop 2 points, should I say, but I don't think so. I've got a feeling that Hibs will win that one. I mean, Saints, I don't believe that Craig Levein, you know, for a minute, doesn't know what the league table is, but there's no any point in looking at it. You know, that's probably, you know what Craig's like, he's a master of the dark arts, you know, when he says stuff like that, you know. I mean, at the moment, all he has to do is try and prepare a side, which, you know, I mean, you see the thought of McGowan or Gordon or if it's Considine explaining that kind of back to your back for whatever it is that he goes with. I mean, the thought of facing that Celtic side when they're on song, it's quite alarming. It's a great challenge, but it's alarming because they've got a kind of pace and a touch and a movement and a quickness and a rapidity about them, you know, and a cleverness that's just so hard to deal with over kind of 90-odd minutes. I mean, I hope he's... we were chewing the fat before we kind of, you know, put the mics on, but, I mean, I think he's given the boys a wee bit of rest, hasn't he? A few days off and that, and that's good.
That's that last week.
Yeah, you need... I mean, this is... We're at the juncture of the season where it's mentally and physically kind of draining. You know, fans never like to hear this stuff. Football, professional football is a brutal sport. It's hard. It takes out the body, it takes out the mind and all the rest of it.
Brutal watch.
Brutal watch, yeah. There's been some really brutal stuff this season. So, I mean, you know, so I'm glad they've had a kind of, you know, a few days off, whatever, let the limbs back, let the kind of mind just switch off a wee bit. Now it's back to it. But, I mean, it's Celtic Park. I mean, Saints have won 6 out of 29 games this season, so, you know, it's hard to see them winning it, you know, if not impossible. Another point would be a great result for them. But I find it difficult to see them taking anything with Celtic and Rangers now going really head to head for the title. Any slippage from Celtic and you're handing Rangers a title, so there'll not be any slippage that I can see there. So it looks like a torrid afternoon for St Johnstone.
So basically, Saints and Dundee aren't doing a Motherwell and Hearts then, eh? Given the old firm another double dunt. No. It's like almost like a pause for Saints, eh? for their season, eh? And then stick their head above the parapet again and hope Ross County haven't got more than a couple of points. I suspect and Aberdeen as well. Looking for Dundee to do them a turn this week.
Well, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
So Dundee United. I mean, honestly, Arbroath. I mean, it's just I'm not gonna go into too much. You can't give Dundee United too much praise for beating Arbroath now because it's a total sham of a fixture then, isn't it? I mean, ridiculous. It's ridiculous that
score in the league, isn't it?
Oh, come on, that aggregate scoreline between two teams in a league that's supposed to be. That is the most competitive. Well, that's
35 points between them.
No. And by all accounts, they were lucky to get away with what they got away with. And that's not the first time we've said that about these games. You know, you can't be beating Raith Rovers. Anyway. So how much praise do we give Dundee United for beating Arbroath, for thrashing Arbroath again?
Well, let's not be too churlish about it. I think it's a result. It's a result that they've needed, and particularly at home, because they've got, I think, four of their last games are at home coming up now. So they're going to need.
They'll be gutted they don't have our broth anymore.
Yes, they're going to need. They're going to need the supporters on their side at home. I believe Lee Wilkie wrote that in his column yesterday. Because you're at that point of the season now where you are where you are. In terms of reinventions and changing things and whatever, it's not the time for it now. You are where you are. You knuckle down and you go for it, and it helps a lot now going into those last games that United have had a home game against someone. All right, it's Arbroath and they are at the bottom of the league, but you beat what's in front of you and they hammered them, and they've not done that to a team in quite a long time. They've not put anybody away for a while. They went through a wee phase at the start of the season earlier where they were dishing out four goals and three goals and whatever and putting teams to bed. They've not done that in a long time. It's been more of a struggle recently to get the job done. So they've
up pop Arbroath for them.
Yeah, they should be grateful that Arbroath are in the division and be delighted. So yes, it's only Arbroath if you like, but at the same time they're in the league and they've got to beat them, and they did, and it was 4-0. It was a hounding. So supporters all enjoyed it. And now it's on to the next one.
You do need it. You need the occasional, free hit, don't you? And to relieve the pressure of a title run in, and that makes Wraith's result all the more. That's going to be where Wraith lost the league, and I'm sorry. I don't think they'll, as much as it still looks like Wraith lost the league when they imploded against Arbroath, and that'll be the big result of the season, in my opinion, when we look back on it.
I mean, as we sit here and chew the fat, I mean, Wraith are playing tonight. They're at Partick, aren't they?
Yeah, I think
they're at Partick tonight. I mean, in terms of the perspective of the question you asked about United against Arbroath, I'm a great believer. You can only beat what's up against what you're put up against.
Well, you can.
And they did it well. They did it very professionally. I mean, they got off to a decent quick start or two up at half.
Were you there, Jim?
Didn't make it on Saturday. Like I had family, Mother's Day duties a day early, you know. So it's
prepping for them, were you?
I think it's one of the few I've missed at Tarnley this season. But I think it
they'll be telling you to stay away. Superstitious one.
Well, funnily enough, I was at a kind of great night to Birkhill Inn on Saturday night with Boogaloo's over on. And I was speaking to a great mate of mine. I said, "What was the game like today?" He said, Oh, it was terrible. He said, I gave up watching it. I said, well, did you leave early? She said, no, I was watching it on the Fire Stick. Now, he was, you know, not that I would, not that I would encourage that sort of behaviour. I just pointed legally, not that I would, no, and the Spence household doesn't have
that. That's a legitimate talking point. Lots of people are watching games like that now.
Well, that's what he was doing. And this, I mean, him and his missus have been regulars forever, you know, away trips. And you know, he's not going there. He's not going. He's watching on the Fire Stick, you know. So, I mean, United's crowds have held up really well. So, obviously,
yeah,
the bulk of people aren't watching on the Fire Sticks. But you know, he wasn't impressed with what he saw, now there's a danger here. I think to some extent it goes back to a wee bit of what we talked about with Aberdeen earlier on. There's an age thing.
He wasn't impressed when a 4-0 win.
Yeah, he wasn't impressed because he's a bit younger than me, but a bit older than you.
You can't please
so
everybody.
The problem is
you?
He's seen some really, really good United sides. You know, he's seen some really good United sides. I've seen some great United
sides. He needs to forget that.
And he's watching a side at the moment that's the problem.
You need to get yourself down the Burke Hill Inn.
That's where you get into that kind of that whole thing about what are your expectations from a team. The rest of it. I think if your team goes out and they win 4-0 and they play well, I thought Jim Goodwin's comment, I was watching the goals this morning before I came down, I thought his comment about, you know, played with a bit of pace, we're a better team when we play with pace, I think it's opposite. I think they are, and I think that's if there's been a critique of United this season, and it's been hard to criticise them because, you know, I don't think they've always lived up to the ability they've got. And it's easy to say that because they're up against sides that pack the defence and come to Tannadice wanting to hit on the break and all the rest, and it can be difficult to work your way through that, you know. But I think when United play with that snappiness, you know, that swiftness, that kind of bit of punch, they're a much better side to they're a much better side to watch. They're a good side to watch when they play like that, and they're much more effective, you know. It's managing to kind of turn it on every game, I think, that's sometimes been the issue. But I don't think you can complain in the slightest about 4-1 against Arbroath. It could have been more from, you know, some of the chances that they made. I mean, there was a crack at it. There was a snip that Middleton, you know, was through on the keeper. Keeper did well, in fairness, to get down and block it. But I mean, there's several chances where it probably could have been 7 or 8. So I think it was a very good win, and it was a very professional win. And you really can't ask for much more than that.
You can't. It's a case of next. But I think Greave gets a goal. Good.
And an assist.
There's two or three of them that, you know, can be big players, have been big players. But I think when to getting United over the line, it'll be a different conversation after it's done. But getting United over the line, it's a good sign that Moult was scoring the other week. Mm-hmm. Moult, Watt, Gallagher, the goalie, Doherty. They're going to get the job done for them ultimately, aren't they? That'll be the story of their season probably at the end when you look back on it. And if in the big moments, but the big moments aren't against Arbroath. You know, the big moments are going to be when Wraith come next time. But
it's
Friday
coming,
nights.
End
Friday
of the month,
night's
yeah.
a big one. Friday night's a big one. Dunfermline have just gone off the boil a wee bit, I think. And Chris Game's out with a calf. So I think that shows that.
Yeah.
Craig Levein was quite right to think, I can let you go out and loan. I think United, do you think United will be fine at East End Park? They left it late the last time, didn't they?
Yes, I'm kind of going to rely on my gut a little bit here, which hasn't been always the greatest, what's the word?
Barometers,
barometer. Yeah, it's been the greatest of. We'll lean on Victorian furniture. It's not been a great barometer, but I get a feeling that United are. I think they're going to be all right now. I'll just close it out. And I think you're right about Wraith. I think that's partially what's feeding into it. I was at that game at Arbroath, where they were 2-0 up and cruising. And
type
then,
of game that lives with you. That one isn't it? Yeah.
A lot of games at Gayfield do. so it was... they were 2-0 up and cruising, and then Arbroath scored one goal and Wraith Rovers just ceased to exist completely. Fell apart and could do nothing about Arbroath's following too. It was inevitable at that point. And the way that they... It was a collapse.
It's just it is frightening. And all those supporters that were there and watching on the TV, it lives with them.
And that made me question them a little bit.
But beat them fairly.
They did. That's a clean sweep in those derbies.
They're not quite Arbroath to United, but they have you know, I think by all accounts, Dunfermline were the better team. Or I say by all accounts, I'm just the reports I've read, which Dunfermline were the better team. I think the story of theirs, I think this is, we're now going to have to mark this down as a sort of mark in time type season, and that potentially there's nothing wrong with that as long as they stay up.
They have had, I mean, Ian Collin, who's our Fife football reporter, will be able to give you the names and the numbers and the times out and all that stuff. But they've had a terrible injury record this year.
Kyle Benedictus, I think, has been the biggest one, because he's a pretty inspirational guy for them. You know, although he was back on Saturday, wasn't he? You know.
So I mean, but James McPake, the amount of times he's been able to pick, you know, anything like what you would consider a first pick side, it's hardly any. He's been up against it this season. So yes, I think you're right. I think you just write this season off. But I mean, they're still in danger at the playoff as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think we're not quite at the writing off time yet.
No, we are
still
not.
It's still alive.
There's a job to be done. Yeah.
So yes, they've got something to play for too. So it'll not be. Should be a stroll, but I still think I'd like to see United just get it done. Get it done.
It's still the type of fixture that that puts a marker down if you win it, isn't it? Friday night, Easton Park.
I've kind of, you know, pretty much said all along that I think United, I thought they would have won it more handsomely than the, oh. Sorry, Jack, I'm sure I put
What's that,
sure
tune?
I put that off.
Name that tune.
Eh? It's a bit.
What is that?
It's a scammer from London. That is the.
I want to get the maracas out.
Yeah, well, I got a second. Should I put that off? Wait a minute, it's going off now. London, England, that'd be a scammer. 0-2-0.
Be one of my regulars. Change your number, Jim.
My apologies. I'm very unprofessional.
Yes, you're talking about United.
Very unprofessional. Just as well Gordon Strachan wasn't here, he walked out. I'm doing it once at a presser. No, I mean, you know, United, I thought, would have won this. Probably more handsomely, given the squad they've got and all the rest of it. And at the moment, it's anything but. I mean, if Wraith win it at Fir Hill, it narrows it to a point, depending on how it goes on Friday night, United at East End Park. There's still a heck of a lot to. So there's a lot of water to flow under this particular bridge. I mean, the bottom line is, if Wraith win tonight, they go to 57 points. It's in both their hands, but it's in their hands. You know, if they win every game at the end of the season and beat United, they'll come up. Automatically. Do I think they will? I don't think so. I think United still have more individual talent and depth, a deeper squad, probably a more robust squad. I don't mean that, but I mean, they've kind of, you know, mentally, I think they're in a stronger position than Wraith, but there's a lot of water to flow under this particular bridge here. So much depends on tonight and on Friday night. But I mean, I think one way or the other, I think the final United Rovers game of the season will be the denouement one way or other, either for Wraith's hopes or potentially United's hopes.
Yeah, well, off the pitch, let's finish up, Jim. I mean, I think you and I are both of a similar opinion, and I think it's not been particularly particularly smart that the summer could be a big time for United in terms of ownership and potential for change. You've long since said that Mark Ogram will have an eye on how he gets out or how he gets fresh investment in one or t'other. Dundee United as a Premiership club makes that a different conversation, and particularly with the interest that's been shown in Scottish clubs just now in the wake of what's happening with Hibs. So I'm not saying it'll affect players or it'll affect Jim Goodwin, but it's a fact, isn't it, that things could change in the summer as soon as if and when United go up.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm referring to your column,
Tony Bloom from Brighton. I mean, he's a very, very wealthy individual, by all accounts, worth about $1.5 billion or something. I made his money in a gambling empire. He's done remarkable things with Brighton Football Club. Now, whether he actually does pursue his interest or whether it goes any further, who knows in football? I mean, there's many a slip to his cup and lip. But, you know, but the way the game is going, I mean, at the moment we've got, you know, Dundee United and Hibs all in American ownership. and Hibs having a new, you know, now that the dual ownership thing is off, 29.9% ownership by Bill Foley from Bournemouth. I mean, initially it was apparently it was Brentford, I think, who were initially interested in some kind of deal with United. But now, you know, Bloom has come to the fore, you know. Now, whether this deal blooms or not, I don't know. But I mean, there are many things going for it. The multi-ownership thing has got, you know, that's now accepted in Scottish football. Certainly 29.9% Hibs. Will there be a situation where you can own the club in entirety? I don't know. But the thing is, from Scottish perspective, if you're in a Premiership, it's actually not that difficult. You don't have to spend a fortune to get a team into Europe. Mm-hmm. You also don't have to spend a fortune on wages. Can you compete with the Old Firm? The suggestion to me was that he might think he can. That's a tall order, but you know, but you can bring players in who can, you know, who are of a higher level than you have, both on loan and all the rest, and sign them with a view to selling them on or moving them on within your multi-club scenario and all the rest of it, you know. So I mean, I don't know. I mean, at the moment it's kind of, it's a wait and see situation, but you know, my information is that he is interested, and United, you know, United would to me be a very attractive proposition if somebody, irrespective of what you think about, you know, foreign ownership, multi ownership, or whatever, you know, given that the potential now exists for it to happen, United are a pretty attractive proposition if they're up there in the Premiership. In fact, they're a very attractive proposition.
I know from, you know, dealing with the Saints ownership situation that there's a lot of American interest out there. You know, that they are the ones taking the biggest interest in. So I know that Brighton's, you know, I'm talking differently to say, you know, Tony Bloom. You know, that's not American, but there are a lot of people out there who are currently just sort of watching and looking at the situation and such like. So United are an obvious one. They're an obvious one for interest to be shown in the summer, in terms of an owner who has put on the record that he sees it as a potential. You know, he's not named. He's what was the phrase he used, Sean? He said something along the lines of, "I won't be, you know, I'm nearer the end than the beginning," or something like that, wasn't it? You know, so that
more years behind me than
exactly. That tells you that he's open, but we shall see. Yeah, we shall see.
Exactly that. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you're right in your summation. The club appears to be one of the ones where
more ripe than others.
If you're a extremely rich business person of American extraction, and you're looking to get any other extraction, you're looking to buy your way into a football club in Scotland for whatever reason, then
that fundamental thing still kind of escapes me a lot. But you know,
then United, are they easier to pick off if they're in the Championship than if they're in the Premier League?
Well, that is another argument. Depends on the mindset of the seller thinking I can get more of my money back back in the top flight.
If they don't get there this season, how much more will it cost me to get them back?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. Either way. But yes, purely because of what the owner has said about Moyer being behind them than in front, then that's it. It's a flag that's waving. I'm one out here. So the club is essentially at that point open to
on the market
negotiation. Yeah. So yeah, they are definitely one of those clubs, if you like.
And I think what we now know from, you know, what's going on at Hibs, what's going on at Dundee and St Johnstone and all the rest of it, is there are no local owners out there that have got either the interest or, more importantly, I think the wherewithal to get involved anymore. That world's moved on. You know, I mean, if it was a Hearts where you're fan owned, that would be one thing, although they've got a very rich philanthropist behind them, you know, who's seriously, seriously wealthy, you know. I've actually wondered if Aberdeen might be a potential target somewhere down the line. I mean, Dave Cormack's a wealthy guy, but between what's going on there, he might just have his belly full. But no, I mean, this offers Mark Ogren at least the potential for some return on his investment. I mean, he's put what 13 million again into Tannadice. How do you get that buy? You're never going to get that. You know,
it'll always be
from a fans buyout or any local owner. So you know, this would give him at least the potential of if it's a case of, you know, Bloom or someone else taking a stake in the club, 29.9%, and returning, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 million, and we're doing some kind of deal over the next few years where he gets money back, or what's a complete buyout, or whether Ogren takes a bit of a hit.
This is always a sticker for Ogren. It's always going to be a game of pontoon, isn't it? You know, as to do I think I can roll? Like going from pontoon to rolling the dice, but you know what I mean. Do I hold on and think, okay, if I give it another year, United could be back in Europe. You know, I might get more of my money back. You know, he has to. It's a judgment call, isn't it?
Well, so one of the things that has intrigued me is who might be the go between. In setting up any of this kind of deal, but I'll leave that for Lord Cole.
Oh, aye. I
don't want the sports head up being a heart attack here, you know?
It's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sean. And thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget, too, to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday, or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.